All right, you got that one for free. Okay. All right, so we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And last week I had talked about, we're in the last days because we're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3 that speaks about the signs of the last day. And we'll look at this again. I talked about how wickedness will mount up greatly. You know, let me get to the passage here. We looked about verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So as we get further and further toward the end, when, you know, the Lord's going to come, when we begin, when the Lord transitions into the tribulation and all of that after the church is out, wickedness is just going to mount up greatly. And then I brought up the fact that the increase of wickedness will test believers. And if we're not careful and we haven't really become grounded and just really submitted unto the Lord and yielded ourselves unto Him, we might be a part of that group. And I brought that up last week in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, is that speaking about saved people? I believe, yeah, to a good degree. Maybe there's some lost people that might be in that description, but I believe there's a lot of saved people who just have not had a close walk with the Lord, and they'll be taken. 1 Timothy chapter 4 talks about the Spirit speaketh expressly at the very beginning of that chapter, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And again, you know, are we talking about maybe some lost people? Maybe that's referring to some lost people, but I believe that a saved person can get themselves away and get caught up with seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. And you're seeing that happen. You're seeing that happen to, I don't have any numbers for you, but there's a good degree of some people that, boy, they absolutely, and I felt like they were saved. I know that they walked with the Lord, and now they're off in la-la land. And listen, I'm not trying to speak disparagingly about them. My heart goes out to them, and I certainly don't want to be condescending. The Lord knows my heart. I'm certainly not doing that, because I realize that if not for the grace of God, we'd go the same place. Okay? Because it's only by the grace of God. It's not, oh, look at us. We're up. No, not even at all. Praise the Lord for what He has done for us. That little statement reminds me of something in Romans chapter 11. I'll just read this. I didn't even have these verses down, but this one just comes to my mind that it speaks about how the natural branches were broken off. That's because the Jews had rejected their Messiah. They're still God's chosen people, but Israel is they're blinded right now. They've been set on the back burner. They're going to be put to the forefront again. They've always been God's people, but there was a blindness. And you know what happened is the gospel went to the Gentiles. And it says about the Gentiles, he says, boast not against the branches, the natural branches, because we were grafted in, it says. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. And then he says this, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. So there's absolutely no reason at all for us to be high-minded or prideful. Praise the Lord. You know, Israel rejected their Savior, their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. They will come back to Him again. But they're still in blindness. And that doesn't mean that no Jews are saved right now. Certainly, there are a number of Jews that are saved. But the nation as a whole has rejected them. You know, we have a missionary that we support there. And, you know, we don't name them. But, you know, they're not exactly happy that somebody's there preaching the gospel. They're not. They're enemies of the gospel. The Bible even says that as well. But I just wanted to get to that point that we as believers, we have no basis at all to be prideful. We ought to be humble before the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me. Thank you that you've given to me everlasting life. And so now with all of that, when somebody does get away, and that's the point where I started, that was the point that I originally brought up, is there are those who do drift away, and it ought to be our prayer that God will work in their hearts and bring them back, and may we just be faithful and stay faithful. But what was brought up last week is how, if we're not careful, we might find ourselves just drifting away. That's why it's important, so significant and important that we stay close to the Lord and walk with Him daily in a daily routine, in a daily manner. All right, so with that, I'm trying to think of where I want to go right here. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I was there last week, and I'm still going to read through that real quickly, and I want to bring up tonight a good strategy in bad times. It kind of segues from last week a bit, but it goes from there, and it gives us some things that really makes for a good strategy that God lays out in His Word for us, that if we stick to it and we ask the Lord to give us discipline that only He can give to us, then He'll help us to stay steadfast, and that's what we're to be. We're to be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's Brother John's favorite verse there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, and I just gave you a little portion of it, but we're to stay steadfast and just continue to be laboring for the Lord. So here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me just read through that real quickly here. In regard to the last days, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Now, by the way, this list of sins has really always been, and I mentioned that last week, but they'll begin to increase and abound more and more as we go forward, and we're seeing that even now. All right, these things are abounding and beginning to blow up or become magnified. And it says, verse 3, "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And that seems to be so typical today. There's just a lot of learning going on, just a lot of things that just fatten the head. The Bible talks about how knowledge puffeth up. Now, there's good knowledge, and we want to grow in the knowledge, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The very last verse in 2 Peter talks about. And there's certainly the knowledge of God. Those are the things that we should increase upon. But, just knowledge in itself, it will never take anybody to the truth. When somebody is just, that's what they want. The Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, and again, interesting note that those names were not used in Exodus chapter 7 when Moses withstood those magicians, and he had his rod, and he threw his rod down, it became a serpent. They did the same, and their rods became serpents as well. What was great is that Moses' rod swallowed up the other ones, all right, because it was the rod of God, right? And so, but these names were not named in Exodus chapter 7, but they're named here, these two head magicians. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, inspires Paul to write how during, with all of this sin being magnified and the sins of the last days, the signs of the times, with all of that, Paul is being used in his example. I don't think Paul wanted that. You know that Paul didn't like to magnify himself. He was a humble man. But the Lord said, no, I want to use you as an example. And that's where Paul speaks there in verse 10. Thou hast known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Because Paul had lived that life. He's writing this book. This is the last book he's going to write, this last epistle. And so the Spirit of God, God himself says, no, Paul, you're an example, and I'll put you up before so that Timothy can see that and see you as an example before him. Timothy certainly already knew that, but it's laid out here in Scripture as well. And then Paul speaks about anyone that will live godly for the Lord Jesus Christ is going to suffer persecution. And that's what verse 12 says. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then he says this, as he will transition after this verse, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So with that, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into this message tonight, this message of a good strategy in bad times. Now, Father, we thank you tonight, and thank you for the opportunity again to gather together. It is a blessing. Lord, again, we never want to take that for granted. It's a joy to be able to interact with one another, to fellowship. And Lord, thank you for giving us a good day, a good afternoon, being able to get some rest. And so now as we gather, Lord, we want to do it in honor of you, to honor you. We want you to be in our midst, and we pray, Father, that you would do that. We pray for the Spirit of God to be here, to address every need that is here tonight. And I would pray that you'll be able to minister to each and every heart. I pray that everyone here knows Christ. But if not, Lord, we pray certainly that whatever individual or individuals that don't know you, that they will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we pray tonight that you would be lifted up and honored, the name of Christ would be lifted up. And so we thank you once again for your word and for these warnings and for this strategy that you give to us, and may we be mindful of it. So we thank you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we take a look here at, I'll bring up 3 points here tonight about, a formula or a strategy that we're to have so that, listen, we can finish well, so that we can finish our race well. Paul says that, and that's what we've had for our theme verse throughout the year. The poster or the banner is not up right now, but he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Who here doesn't want that for their life, right? We all want that. We don't want to fail miserably. We even if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we still don't want to fumble the ball. We don't want to mess up. We don't want to dishonor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a one of you that would want to do that. I know that for a fact, and I certainly don't as well, and I want to finish well. Well, there's some things, again, that would be good for us to just take note of. And the first thing that I want to bring up is the challenges that face us. The challenges that face us, and that was just in reading all of that verses 1 through 13, there are great challenges before us. There's beginning to be a big tidal wave, a big tsunami, more and more of ungodliness. Wouldn't you say so? I mean, I was just, somebody just brought it up the other day that maybe Aiden brought it up in his message about just even the commercials are just getting raunchy and pretty bad. I mean, that's already been there, but it's rising to another level, and it's not good. That's why it's of the Lord to DVR everything that you watch, and then you can just kind of zoom right through those commercials, right? Wouldn't that just be the good thing to do, right? Jennifer, I'm looking at Jennifer. She's nodding in agreement. Sure, I think it's a good idea. All right, so there's just a tidal wave of ungodliness, of wickedness that's before us. It's always been there. I know that, as I said earlier, but it's mounting up. And understand that every generation has lived out its lives, has had its challenges before them. From the Garden of Eden, the curse had been in effect all the way. The curse has been in effect all the way till this day, all right? But yet, the Bible is very clear that wickedness is going to ramp itself up and is ramping itself up to new levels in these last days. Again, 1 John 5:19, that is such a apropos, if that's the right word. It's just so descriptive of this generation. It says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. It just reclines in wickedness. That's what it loves to do. But we as God's people shouldn't partake of any of that. We shouldn't be a part of it. So because of that, the devil is mounting a huge assault on all that is good, and he's seeking to tear everything apart. You know, it says in Revelation, and I don't remember which chapter, maybe 13, but I'm not even sure that it's right there, but it says that Satan knows that his time is short. And so Satan is in a great rage. Satan, that speaks, of course, about the tribulation period and how he's going after the Jews. But it certainly applies to even the church age here. He's always wanting to trip up anything or anybody that belongs to Christ. He can't take us to hell. Aren't you glad for that? He can't do anything about our salvation because the Bible says we're secure in Christ. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption, it says. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 and Ephesians 4:30 tells us that. The Bible says that Jesus tells us in John chapter 10 that no man is able to pluck you out of the Father's hand, and no man is able to pluck you out of his hand. That's just great to know. Now, that never should ever give us a mindset of, well, I'm on my way to heaven, so I can just live like I want. That should never be the thought of a believer. We should never want to, you know, wear a cloak of maliciousness because of our liberty in Christ. We ought to realize that because of this liberty that we've given, we're to live godly so that it would honor him. He died for us. He gave his life for us. And if we have any kind of even a lackluster gratitude, it ought to be, well, yeah, he did give his life for me, so I guess I should. That would be pretty pathetic. It ought to be, yeah, Lord, you died for me, and I know I'm saved. I should give my life to you. Right? There's like this impenetrable force field. I can't hear anything anybody's saying. It's like, yeah, we know that that's true. You're just quiet, but I know that what you're thinking. So the devil is just trying to tear everything apart. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says he's that roaring lion that walketh about. You know, he's our adversary, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And he has opportunities to devour us. Now, when he devours us, he's not going to take us to hell, but he can trip us up. That's what that means. He can disrupt our lives, and he can, create havoc in our lives if we get away from the Lord. If we walk with the Lord, the Bible's so clear, as it says in 1 John chapter 4, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, we have no chance, just us against the devil. He's way too powerful, but he has no chance against the Lord. And we have the Lord in us. And sometimes that's just like, that's bringing it down to the lowest common denominator. It ought to just be in our thinking, how could I, I have no, you know, no chance against the devil. You remember a comedian way back, and he always used to say, the devil made me do it. No, the devil doesn't make us do anything. We give him a pass, and we make that decision. When we're going to do something, it's on us. It's not the devil made us do it. But you know what? The devil can tempt, and the devil can trip us up if we get out of the way of where the Lord wants us to be. Just like when Goliath was before Israel, he's determined to strike fear in the hearts of God's people. He wants to do that if he possibly can. He likes to work through the old nature. And that's why we shouldn't be out there in the old nature. When we wander out there, we need to get ourselves back right with God and just get our hearts right with him. He wants to hold us captive, and to some degree he can. He can't possess a child of God, but he can oppress. He can oppress. He can make life difficult because we've put ourselves in a bad way. We've gotten outside of the yard, and the Lord said, you're not to go outside the yard. Don't go outside the gate. You remember when your parents told you that, and you thought, oh, yeah, mom and dad, they won't know. And you get out in the back, and then you find yourself out in the weeds, and you find yourself getting in trouble. And you find yourself, like a friend of mine named Ronald Duguid, when we were out playing, yeah, Ronald Duguid, his name was spelled the same, the first four letters, the last way, the same backwards as it was forward. Do good, Ronald Do Good. And we were up on the train tracks, and, you know, kids like to just go places where, you know, if your parents saw you, like, you were out where the train tracks, you could have been run over. Well, we were out over there, and, you know, I don't even have this in my notes. But I remember, it's like, Ronald, what are you doing? And he's up, and he tumbles over because it was on, you know, the train tracks were set up high, and it was quite a ditch on both sides. And he stumbles, and he falls right into a thorn patch. I don't remember if it was rose bushes of some sort, but it was a big bush that had all kinds of thorns. And Ronald was like, ah, help! We're like, sorry, Ronald, I'm glad I'm not you at the moment, but we'll help you out. And we pulled him out and tried to pull some thorns out, and he ended up going home. And that's the same thing, kind of same thing that happens to us when we get away from the Lord. You get away from the Lord, you just find yourselves in trouble. And so do I. But that's what the Lord, and that's when, you know, Satan has that somewhat of ability to hold us captive. You know, we looked at, 2 Timothy, where was it? You know, in chapter 2, the very last part of that, where it says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And I believe this is God's people. This is Paul speaking to Timothy as a young preacher to help those to be somebody who is going to use that ministry of reconciliation to try to get somebody back right with God again, who's gotten out of the way. And I won't get, you know, we already went over that passage, but again, we don't want to put ourselves get ourselves in Satan's territory. But he knows that fear hath torment. And Satan likes to use that. It cripples the child of God of what he or she is supposed to be when we allow fear to get into our lives. It's been said this, or it's been said that our fears do not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but it only empties today of its strength. And that's so true. It doesn't empty today of its sorrows, but it only, it doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but it only empties today of the strength that God wants to give you and I when we fall into that that fear, to the sin of being fearful. And it's sad to say, but to a good degree, he has been winning the victory over many of the saints. And we don't want to be in that category. Not that he hasn't gotten his defeats on us or his victories against us. He certainly has, I'm sure. I know he has in my life from time to time, and that's, again, because I've been out of the will of God. But he knows keeping us fearful will never reach our potential. It's kind of like the two caterpillars who were watching a butterfly, and, the two caterpillars, they were looking at each other. One said to the other, they'll never get me up in one of those hang gliders. No way. All right, some of you just didn't get that at all. You just needed a nap. Listen, if there was ever a time for us to be praying, it's right now. David said that he would give himself to prayer. And it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So after Paul has listed out these challenges, all of these sins, these are great challenges to you and I. He goes on to show how to counter these attacks, how to counter everything that we're looking at. And we got to be careful because we are seeing these things. They're laid out before us. We know what's going on around us. We're not going to live inside of a cave. We're not going to go on the backside of a mountain. No, we live life, and we see things happen before us. But let's be careful that we don't allow it to affect us, that we live above that we walk with the Lord, that we see all that happening, and it's like that's what God says. But we keep our eyes on the Lord, and we ask the Lord to help us to be a faithful ambassador through everything that we see. So now the Apostle Paul talks about, as far as these challenges, he's going to show how to counter these attacks. So the first thing that we saw there was the challenges that face us. And now the second thing is the counsels that fortify us, all right? The counsels that fortify us. And of course, when I speak about counsels, I'm talking about God's counsel. The counsels that fortify us. Folks, we need God's counsel. We need God's instruction. We need God's wisdom. None of us are that smart. We just aren't. And you might have a whole lot more intelligence than me, and that's not saying a whole lot. If I could even be just average, I'm probably shooting a little bit too high, okay? We're not all the, you know, sharpest tools in the shed. And so you may have a brilliant, you know, a mind, but you're never going to out-strategize the devil. You're not going to outsmart the devil. It's foolish for you or I to think that we can do that. And yet I think there are times when somehow we tried to figure out our own circumstances and we tried to manipulate it and kind of worked our way around it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you probably have been guilty of that. We've all tried to do that. Rather than really seeking the Lord and praying, we tried to do a lot what Jacob did. Jacob was always trying to figure out his circumstances, and he was trying to weasel his way to get his own results that he wanted, and he paid the price for it. It all came back on him. Okay? We won't go into the life of Jacob right now. So again, trying to be too smart, that's just a foolish thing. This counsel that we speak of, again, is nothing else but the Word of God. And when you read, we finished up in verse 13 there, and now we're looking at the next passage, which takes us to the end of the chapter. But we'll see that speaks about the Word of God here. I'll read verse 14, which says, "But continue thou." He gives Timothy, again, all of the things that he's going to see in the last days, and perilous times will come. And he gives all of those sins that are going to be prevalent. And he says, you know, they're only going to get worse, Timothy, so keep your eyes on the Lord. And that's why he says in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." So we'll just start with there, and we'll get through the next three verses as well. But he is talking here, and he'll get into the Word of God in these next few verses. But the things that you've learned, Timothy, continue thou in those things. You've been raised by a godly mother and a godly grandmother, and you've probably had many other great influences in your life, in the church that you were at there, and the godly people that you were around. Take those things that you've learned and continue in them. Now, if we were to take a poll, let me just ask this question. How many of you were raised in a Christian home? All right, that's a lot of you. That's a lot of you. Is that good English? That's many of you. Whatever. That's a lot of you. All right. There's a whole bunch, right? Now, listen, that's great. And you probably, no doubt, I hope that you heard some good things as a child or whatever it is that you got saved. You know, maybe a little bit later, maybe you were 10, 12, maybe you were a teenager, but you heard some things, and you can certainly apply what Paul was writing to Timothy. You can make application, right? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. There's some things that you've heard, and, unfortunately, there's a culture, they call it the cancel culture, the woke culture, that just wants to cherry pick and pull out anything that was negative in the past. And if that's the case, then I'm done with you. That's terrible. That's just, again, right out of the pit of hell. That has nothing to do with what the Lord teaches us about forgiveness. But some people want to pull out some little bad thing that was done to them or whatever and just hold that against mom and dad or hold that up against their upbringing. Listen, if you were given some good advice and you were taken to the Word of God, praise God for that. Amen? And praise God, even if I can look back and I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but I'm really grateful for my mom and dad. And I told them that. They're both with the Lord. And they both got saved later in life, and it was just wonderful to see them get saved. I'm still grateful for the things that I learned. I really am. I'm grateful for the things that my dad taught me, that my mom taught me. Certain things still are very imprinted in my brain that I can remember looking at my dad and my dad telling me, "Son, you know, this or that, you know, make sure, you know, to look people in the eye." I remember him saying that to me as a little kid. "Yes, Dad. Yeah, yeah." I mean, because I was one of those kids who wanted to just look here. I was like intimidated by, you know, looking at an adult. And he said, "Son, look people in the eye, you know, show respect, but look them in the eye when they're speaking to you." And I was always there, and I remembered, oh, yeah, he said, "Look me, you know, look people in the eye." It makes a difference. So those things that we heard, now let's not take them for granted, amen? I bet if we had a little bit of time to get some testimonies, you could certainly bring up a lot of things that your parents brought up. Those great bits of counsel. Well, the Lord's given us great counsel, hasn't he? He's given us great counsel in his word. Take a look at, I'll have you turn to one of these and I'll read the other one, so we just for sake of time. But Isaiah chapter 25 is what I was thinking of counsels. This verse comes to my mind, so I turned to it. I wrote it down, but instead we'll just turn to it. I'd like to read it with you guys looking at it as well. So this counsel is none else but the word of God, as I mentioned. And it says here in chapter 25 of Isaiah, verse 1, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. And then it says, thy counsels of old. Oh, your word, your word from way back. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. You can tell Isaiah as he was exalting the Lord, and he thinks about his word, and he thinks about those precious promises of the word of God that he was able to get a hold of and to hide in his heart. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. I think about numbers of people that I've talked about that as a kid they learned scripture and those scriptures were there. They were imprinted into their hearts. They learned them in a Awana way back or some other kids group, and it made a significant difference in their life. Has the Word of God done that for you?
Amen.
Yeah. How many of you have a favorite verse? Yeah, how many of you have several favorite verses? Right, and those verses, have they not buoyed you up and strengthened you at times when you've just, you know, had them come to the forefront of your mind as you're going through something and the Lord used it to give you strength? I mean, we know probably one of the favorite verses of so many is, you know, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we know we use that and we think, I'm just so weak, Lord. I don't know that I can get through this. I'm so tired. And that verse comes to mind. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you realize that even through our weakness, we just lean to the Lord. And he gives us a strength that passeth understanding. And he helps us to be able to get through. And has that ever happened to you where you look back and you go, how did I get through that? And then you know the answer to that, hopefully, right? You know it was the Lord. And hopefully at that point, you praise the Lord. I like to try to make sure I don't forget to thank the Lord. I have prayed and asked the Lord for things, and he's answered. And then it's a day or two later, and I think, Lord, I forgot to thank you for that. I prayed about that 2 days ago. Please forgive me, but thank you for doing that. And the Lord is so good. He knows that we get sometimes sidetracked, and we get busy in our schedules, but it's always good to thank the Lord. And it's always good to give him the praise and all of the credit and just bask all the praise on him because he's worthy of it. Psalm 33:11, I'll just read this verse. It says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. The counsel of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And then it says in Proverbs 19 and verse 11, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Okay, it doesn't matter what's in a man's heart. It doesn't matter all of the devices he might have. It says, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that is what's going to stand. That is what's going to stand the test of time. And that's what you and I, that's our bedrock. That ought to be what we stand upon. I stand on the word of God. And I know that my God is faithful to follow his promises. C.T. Studd said this, I like this quote. He said, his blessed word hallows me on, it spurs me on, hallows me on more and more, and it makes me burn and dare to do for him. His word just does something in my heart. Remember how he said to Jeremiah, my word is like a what? Like a fire? Yeah, it's like a fire that just consumes you. And that's what Jeremiah said. That word is like a fire in my heart, in my belly. And it just keeps me going. And that's what C.T. Studd's quote was all about. He also says it's like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. His word is powerful, and we don't want to ever underestimate it. We never want to make light of it. May we hold it dear and near and dear to our hearts. We're told that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We saw that in the first chapter of 2 Timothy. And someone once said this, someone once said that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Right? Yeah, and it's not a good thing to be doing. It only just eats away at our own bodies. When we just kind of, you know, we're all going to have a lot of stressors that come into our life. We're going to have a lot of pressure. Stress level could be high. It's just good to give it to the Lord and to meditate on Him and let Him take that stress and begin to just dissolve it away. Because if we hang on to it, it has some ill effects on us. We know that, right? I mean, our blood pressure starts to go up. And, you know, you might have high blood pressure for some other reasons. Maybe it's not because you hold on to stress all the time, but maybe partially it's maybe something to do with worrying. And it's good for us just to give that to the Lord, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He's good to do that, isn't He? And if we can learn how to just give it to Him, the problem is we give it to Him, and then we go and we take it off His lap, and we take it back with us again. I think I need to hold on to this for a while, Lord. You look like you've got too much on your lap. No. The Lord, you know, the Lord is never overcome by all of His children's problems. He'll take them from us. We just sometimes have this OCD thing about us that we just feel like we got to hang on to things. It's just weird. But God has given us His word to strengthen and to quicken and to fortify our spiritual life. Okay, the counsels that fortify us. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." He's a good God, isn't He? "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." May we learn how to trust in Him. Again, Psalm 119. I turned there earlier today and read some verses. I'll turn there again for this point that I'm reading. And if you want to turn there, I'll read some verses like 15 and 16 and then 28. I'll just read a few. We were reading 97 through 104 earlier today with my message. But Psalm 119 and verse 15, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." Meditating, "I will delight myself in thy statutes," verse 16 says, "I will not forget thy word." We learn how to delight ourselves in His word. We'll just find that a peace takes over and the pressures and the stresses start to fall away. Wouldn't you rather have peace than stress? I certainly would. I don't like it when I'm stressful. And sometimes the stress doesn't want to go away so easy. But if we'll sing unto the Lord, if we'll look unto His word. Verse 28, these are just great passages. "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." And verse 47 says, "I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." And then verse 50, the last one, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." It's made me alive. It's just, you know, buoyed me up. And the word of God will do that for you and I. So Paul said, "To continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And now again, back into chapter 3, toward the end of that passage there, where he says this, and we talked about this a little bit last week, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So he goes on to say how the holy scriptures, how the Bible made thee wise unto salvation, Timothy. God at a young age was working in your heart. Now there's a lot of, there are many things in God's word. Boy, it's just like, Lord, I have a hard time getting my hands on that. That's just too high for me. There's a number of things about that I could bring up in the Word of God. But God made salvation simple so that a little child could understand it and could come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. You know, again, I mentioned my kids last week, and they were all saved at different points in their life, but they were all young, but they understood that. How many here understand that through God's amazing Word and the Holy Spirit's work, we came to see ourselves as sinners in need of a Savior. right? Yeah, I think every one of us can certainly understand that. Many of you got saved. How many of you got saved before you were, before you were 8 years of age? You got saved. Man, praise the Lord, that's a whole bunch of you. What a wonderful thing. I really wish I would have been saved as a little kid, but I'm not complaining. I'm glad I got saved when I was 19. And I thank the Lord that He was so great that He used the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to do that work in my heart as He did in your heart as well. Now, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, certainly, again, it's our desire that you would trust Christ as your Savior. We want to see you get saved, and I always want to put that invitation out there. Now, take a look here at verses 16 and 17 as Paul speaks to Timothy about the Word of God itself. All Scripture, he said, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We saw a little bit about this earlier when we look at for reproof. That's what the Lord did with, and for correction, what He did with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They needed a bit of a rebuke and a reproof, and He did that. Thou fools, right? The Lord did it in such a way. He loved them, but boy, He wanted them to be really impacted by what He said to them. You know, they had spilled their guts, and they incriminated themselves, and the Lord comes right in, and, with the old left hook, and He got them, and He nailed them. But it was good, because, you know, what does it say? The kisses of an enemy are deceitful, or whatever, but what's the other part of that? The wounds of a friend are faithful, right? The wounds of a friend. I mean, somebody that really loves you, sometimes they're going to give you some harsh or hard medicine because they know it's going to be good for you. Now, you know, that's something that we do. We do that for our kids. Sometimes it's like, I don't want to have to do this, you know. Son, this is going to be harder for me than it is for you. And they look at you like, really? You know, but you know that that was the case. Yeah, because it's like, I want to teach you something. It was always hard when I had to discipline our children. And they always knew it was going to be a bit of a process, right? My wife would see me going into the bedroom with them or with one of them, and we would sit, and I would go and talk about it. I think that this just really dragged it out for them. They were almost like, Dad, would you just paddle me, and let's get it over with? It was just like hanging over their heads. And I would just explain, and I would ask the Lord to help me explain why this was wrong. This is wrong what you did. And there needs to be, there has to be some consequences to this. And that's why Dad's going to paddle you. I don't do it because I like to do it, but I'm doing it so you'll understand that there are, ramifications, or there's consequences. There's some things that happen when we do things wrong. And then I would paddle them and, you know, playing sports and having good wrist action. They always said, Dad, yeah, those paddles, I wanted it to be effective. I certainly never wanted to abuse my kids, and I know that I always made sure I was never did it in anger. I always made sure, Lord, help me. I want to have a right spirit before my kids, and I want them to know that I'm doing it because I love them, because that's how you treat us. He loves us. And so I would do that, and then we weren't done. We would sit, and we would talk about what we might have learned from it. And almost invariably, after a period of time, we'd come out, and didn't it always seem that everybody was pretty happy? We were kind of joking at that point. I don't know that I did it always perfect, and my wife certainly, there were times when she had disciplined as well, and she did a great job. But I just know that, you know, that how important it is that we administer, corporal punishment, or, you know, when we have to deal with our children and discipline them, that we would do it in such a right way. Now, Paul is speaking to Timothy here about those scriptures, about the Bible, and about, as a man of God, he said, listen, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Lord is wanting to instruct us. The counsels of old that we just spoke of, those instructions that He wants us to learn, instructions for righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. I can certainly spend a lot of time there, but we'll just go past that. And I'm just going to take us to this last point here tonight and finish off with this. So first of all, I brought forth the challenges that face us. And then secondly, the counsels that fortify us. That would be the Word of God. And then the calling that fuels us. The calling that fuels us. And we see this in 2 Timothy 4, in verses 1 through 5. And last week we were a little bit in here, but I'm just kind of trying to develop this for today's or tonight's message here. So let me just read verses 1 through 5, and I'll bring up some things here, and we'll finish tonight. He says this, I charge thee therefore before God. Okay, I charge you. This is, a strong exhortation, an admonishment. He's saying, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He said, preach the word, Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Isn't that crazy? Turned unto fables, things that have no basis in reality, things that are just made up. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So this calling that fuels us, all of these things that the devil throws our way are meant for really one thing, and that's to get us off track. The devil is trying to get us off track. He can't take us to hell. So what is he trying to do? The next best thing that he is trying to do is he's trying to disrupt your life. Now, if we're not even trying to live for the Lord, he doesn't even have to bother. We're our own worst enemy then. We're doing his job for him, and he's like, I'm sure some of his imps come up to him, some of his fellow emissaries, and they're like, hey, boss, you want me to take care of that guy? No, he's already a dud. He knows the Lord. He's going to heaven, but he's not doing anything. Leave him alone. You don't have to worry about him. Oh, right, boss. Okay, right. I think that's probably how it plays out. It has to. But if he sees us trying to live for Christ and we want to serve the Lord, then we become right on his, we show up on his radar screen. Yeah, and he realizes, well, I can't take them down to hell with me, but I can try to disrupt their lives. So that's what he does. And he goes before the throne, and just like in Job, and I believe he asked, can I do something? Will you open up the hedge? Will you open up a little gap in the hedge so I can give them a little bit of, problems and afflictions and trials? Will you let me do that? I'll let you do that. I believe that that's how it plays out, and the Lord allows some things to happen to us. What is that verse in 1 Corinthians, is it 1 Corinthians or 2nd? Let me see. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And that's 1 Corinthians 10:13. That means the Lord will allow temptation and testing to happen in your life, but he'll never give you more than you can handle. And he'll always bear you up, and he'll always create a way for you to escape. And that'll always be by the grace of God. So the devil's looking to try to get us to lose our resolve. You know, we might really be on fire for the Lord, and yes, I want to tell people about the Lord, and I want to be a gospel witness, and then, you know, it just, the flame goes out. Short order, you know, and we get caught up with things, and maybe something was allowed to be thrown into our life. Maybe it's just the normal everyday things that happen to us. But, you know, the devil, whenever he can put his hand in it, he will, and he'll use it to blur our focus. He'll use it to discourage us. That's probably one of his tools. What is that verse that says this, that lest Satan get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of something. We're not ignorant of his devices. We shouldn't be, but that was Paul saying that. And I think Paul had gotten to a point where, I know the devil's tricks now. You know, what does it talk about? The wiles of the devil. in Ephesians chapter 6. So the devil has some little bag of tricks. One of my favorite cartoons was Felix the Cat, right? He used to pull that little bag of tricks out, but those were always helpful things. The devil's bag of tricks, it's to just create problems for you and I, those wiles of the devil. And he knows how to throw something in our path that would cause us to stumble. Now, that doesn't have to mean that we're always going to stumble. We look to the Lord, and the Lord will just cause us to go right around it. You know, what does it say? The prudent man foreseeth the evil, and he hideth himself, but the simple passeth on and are punished. I think that's what that passage says. So God blesses us when we look unto him and say, Lord, help me to be wise. Give me prudence. And the Lord helps us to see things, and we can avert some of the things that Satan throws our way. Isn't that a good thing? Yeah, it's kind of like a big game of, Mario Brothers? Sorry, I wasn't trying to be goofy there. But you know how certain little, I don't even know that game that well, certain little buttons you push and all of a sudden he can jump. It's like, how did Mario do that? He just jumped right over that thing. Well, listen, I'm not trying to make this and make this foolish, but I mean, the Lord gives us the ability to be able to avert problems by just looking unto him for wisdom. So the devil is looking to just create issues for us, and we're sometimes so foolish that we'll fall for those things. And getting back to that passage that said, you know, we're not ignorant of his devices. And what I say is that I don't think there was anything in Satan's bag of tricks that Paul didn't already know about, because he said, we're not ignorant of his devices. But the question that I ask for you and I is, but are we ignorant of some of those devices? Because maybe we fall to him a lot all the time. He seems like maybe he gets us to get discouraged so often. And maybe it's mostly us, but maybe the devil has a way of discouraging us and we seem to fall for his trap every time. Or maybe he has a way of somehow just disrupting, or he's looking to try to detain or whatever it might be. And ultimately, he wants to try to destroy, and he just loves to wear us out. And that's what it says in Daniel chapter 7. I think it's in verse 25. He tries to wear out the saints. But the Bible says that we have all kinds of resources at our availability to be refreshed and to be strengthened in the things of the Lord. And so we shouldn't get worn out, but he's looking to wear us out. So Timothy was called to preach, and not all of us are, but the goal really is the same, because he's telling Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Timothy, keep preaching the word. Stay on top of it. Don't deter from that. But just keep your eyes on what God has called you to do. And then verse 5, when he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The work of an evangelist is to go and to win souls and to give them the gospel. So the goal for you and I is the same. Even though you might not be called to preach, it's still that we're to be faithful to take the word of God out to sinners, to lost sinners. Amen? And to go out and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how we can know, how they can know that they're saved. And that is why God, through Paul, exhorts Timothy to not lose his focus, his goal, his directive. I charge thee, he says, there in verse 1. So in like manner, let us zero in on what God has called us to do, and that is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26 says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. The Lord should be our confidence. A kindergarten teacher was observing her classroom of children while they were drawing, and she walked around to see each child's work. And as she got to one little girl who was working diligently, she asked what the drawing was. And the girl replied, I'm drawing God. And the teacher paused and said, but no one knows what God looks like. Without even missing a beat, the little girl said, they will in a minute. That's a lot of confidence, isn't it? Well, listen, we're to have confidence in the Lord. It's the same kind of confidence that David displayed when he said about Goliath, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, brethren, we have tons of promises from God. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. The Lord always gives us the way to have victory every time. So when we don't, it's because we've gotten out of the way, haven't we? We haven't trusted His promises. We haven't learned to walk by faith, but we're learning. But we're walking by sight instead. So as I wind this down, you know, I think it's necessary to ask these questions. Where are you and I at today? Where are you and I at today? Things look bad. Certainly, they look bad around us. How is it affecting you? Are you able to keep your eyes on the things of the Lord? What does it say? Set your affection on things above, not on the things on earth. We're to keep our eyes on Him. The challenges are many, but we have His consolation. We have His counsels that He's given to us. We have His comfort, His word. We have this calling that He gives to us of telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll just say this. It seems as if a number of Christians have gotten away from those fundamental things. That calling of telling others to Christ has gotten replaced with, you know, just social do-good things, which is not a bad thing. We're to take care of others and help them with some of their needs and take care of them. But, you know, above and beyond that is we need to tell them about where their soul is going to end up, about eternity, about the gospel and how Christ died for them. You know, we can go, you know, send somebody to a foreign field, and what do we expect of them? Yeah, we want them to help people out in their hardships and in some of their sufferings, certainly. But if we find out, but they're not telling them about Christ, do you think that we're going to want to support them for long? I mean, that's great that you're doing all these humanitarian efforts, but that's not why we support you. We support you because we want to tell people about an eternity with the Lord and about salvation and about how Christ died for sinners. And certainly not just about just taking care of somebody's needs, but about what Christ has done for us. So have we kept our eyes on what God's wanted us to focus on, to do the things that He's called us to do? And I believe that's what Paul is telling Timothy is stay the course. Don't get caught up in all of this vain jangling, as he says in 1 Timothy. That's all of that foolish talking that doesn't amount to anything. You can get caught up so much of that, Timothy. Keep your eyes off of that and keep your eyes on the Lord. And that's what we're to do. We're to keep our eyes on Him. Amen? So with that, let's go ahead. We'll go before the Lord. We'll bow our heads at this point. And again, just in a moment, we'll sing a hymn of invitation. And I hope if you're without Christ, you don't know that you're saved. And again, this would be a great night to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But what about what God has brought forth with His Word, about having a strategy in bad times? That's about keeping our eyes on the Lord, about the counsels that He's given to us of old, that we would just stay in His Word, hide it in our hearts. Let him help us with the challenges that we face in our life. And then those counsels again, maybe hide those things in our heart because of the challenges that we face. And then this calling that should fuel us, this calling of being faithful to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. If God's spoken to your heart, I hope that you'll respond to Him tonight. Father, we thank You. Again, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the things that You spoke to Timothy through Paul and how You exhorted and encouraged Timothy. And though he was a preacher, yet everyone here can make application. And we look to You to help us, Lord. Help us to take these things, apply them to our hearts and lives. Help us to have ears to hear. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. And help us, Lord, to see victories in our own life. Help us not to get sidetracked. I know the devil would love to see us do that. But help us to keep our focus on You. So we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.